When we talk about a disciple, that's kind of a churchy word. It's become a churchy word. It's an amazing word. It's a really beautiful word, the word disciple. But some of you, if you're new to Christianity or you're new to church again, and you're kind of like, you know, I've heard that word. I think lots of Christians use that word. Or maybe when you were really little, you grew up in a church and you heard that word used. And unfortunately, sometimes when we use the word disciple, sometimes this kind of like glazed look comes over our eyes. Or a lot of us in the room will say, yeah, I know what that means. I already know what that means, right? And the truth is, if you ever like kind of double down and really ask someone, what is a disciple of Jesus? Many of us in the room would have a different answer. And so right now you're probably thinking, well, my answer is the right answer. Like, who would have a different answer than I do? But believe it or not, people think all kinds of things when we use the word disciple. And so what we've chosen to do is to use a word, and the word is apprentice. Because the word apprentice really gets at what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. It's to be an apprentice. Sometimes even the word student doesn't fully capture it, because a student can be sitting in a class and it's all just head knowledge. But what Jesus is getting at is that an apprentice is someone who follows Jesus and does what Jesus does. They literally follow Jesus doing the things that Jesus does. That's what an apprentice is. And that is what a disciple is. And I do not think that there is a better way of illustrating this in Hollywood films than The Karate Kid. The Karate Kid is the best example of apprenticeship in Hollywood. Some of you know the story. Well, actually, I feel like all of you should know the story, just so you know. It came out in 1984. That's on you if you haven't seen it. So I'm going to kind of ruin it for you here. But The Karate Kid is the story of Daniel LaRusso, who his mother, they're living in New Jersey. His mother gets a job in California, so he and his mom pack the car, head out to California. And he arrives in California, and he's being picked on. He's being bullied at this new school in his new high school in California. And so as he's getting picked on, one time he really gets beaten up by half a dozen guys. And this mysterious Japanese guy named Mr. Miyagi jumps in and protects him. He protects him from these kind of thugs. And Daniel then is intrigued by this guy, Mr. Miyagi, and he wants to be his student or his apprentice. And he wants Mr. Miyagi to teach him all about karate. And if you've seen the movie, you'll know that he begins to teach him, and he begins to tell him to do all kinds of stuff. And some of the stuff is a little odd. It's a little weird. Like, he begins to teach him how to wax a car or paint a fence or balance on a boat while Mr. Miyagi is fishing. Daniel has to balance on a boat, or trim a bonsai plant, right? You remember these scenes, I hope. And as you watch those scenes, Daniel's starting to go, like, am I his personal slave? You know, like, is this going somewhere? And it is going somewhere. But the thing is that Daniel has to watch the master. He has to be apprenticed to Mr. Miyagi. And some of you will know the most infamous line from the film, teaching him to wax a car. He says, wax on, right hand. Wax off, left hand. Wax on, wax off. Breathe in through nose, out the mouth. Wax on, wax off. Don't forget to breathe. Very important, right? It's infamous. This is the line from the film. Daniel watches every move that Mr. Miyagi makes. And again, to be an apprentice is not just to learn head knowledge stuff. So it's not like Bible trivia stuff, but it's knowledge that's turned into action. He literally watches Mr. Miyagi and he does what he does. Apprenticeship, putting it into practice. And some of you will know that the best apprenticeship moment of the film was something called the crane, right? The crane kick. Can I get an amen? No, just a laugh. Okay. I was actually wanting an amen, but okay. So what does apprenticeship to Jesus look like then? Well, it's to do what Jesus did. To do what Jesus does. That's what it means to be an apprentice. To follow Jesus and to do what he does. It's pretty simple. So again, is it about the Christian who knows like lots of information about the Bible and lots of, no, that's really good, and it'll be part of being an apprentice of Jesus. Is it about a missionary? Like maybe it's like an extra level, right? Like there's Christians, right? We're all on the same level. But then there's disciples, right? These are apprentices. They're like the next level. They get a little patch or a badge or some kind of distinguished thing for being a part of that level. Is that how it works? Was that Jesus' plan? No, not at all. This involves all of us. All of us are welcomed to be a disciple. All of us are welcomed to be an apprentice of Jesus. And I want us to hear the moment when Jesus first calls a group of guys at a lake to come follow him as an apprentice. So if you will, would you open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4, and we'll start in verses 18. In verse 18, and we'll go all the way to verse 22. And I just want to let you know, if you didn't bring a Bible, that's okay. The scripture will be on the screen. But it's nice to have a Bible open to kind of see what's going on around the story as you read it, as we study it together. Just to give you a little context, this is at the very beginning of Jesus' 3 years of ministry. For 3 years, Jesus healed the sick, he set people free, he loved the poor, he fed the poor, he kept talking about the kingdom of God. And so many people were drawn to Jesus. If he did that for 3 years, 3 years later, he was crucified on a Roman cross. And then he rose from the dead. And that's a part of the story that most of you in the room know. But for 3 years, he was teaching. And what he did is he called a group of people to follow him. They were called disciples, apprentices. And so here's the moment when he calls the very first disciples. So Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist, has been put in prison by a ruler named Herod. And because he's been put in prison, Jesus goes up to the Sea of Galilee. He's in an area called Galilee, and he's living in a town called Capernaum. And it's kind of like a lakeside city. And a lot of people in town were in the fishing business. And so let's read what happens. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them. And immediately, they left the boat and their father and followed him. This is the word of the Lord. So what do we see here? Well, we see Jesus hanging out by a lake. Jesus is his kind of his hub, his station where he's going to minister out of is a town called Capernaum, and it's by a lake. And so naturally, he's walking along the lake, and he sees these two sets of brothers, and they're fishermen. Now, we see in the Gospels that this is not the very first time that these fishermen know Jesus or see Jesus. It's very likely these four fishermen have been following John the Baptist, and they've heard a lot about John the Baptist. It's very likely that these four fishermen were at a wedding that Jesus was at, where he made amazing amounts of really good wine. And so they've known Jesus for a while. This is not a cold call, as it were. But they've known about him for a while. They've had a chance to see and hear some of Jesus' teachings, to see him a little bit, to know him, and to hear what John the Baptist had said about Jesus. So Jesus is walking along the lake, and he says, "Come, follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people." So here they are. Here's the first set of guys, Peter and Andrew. And they're standing as the waves kind of come in off the Sea of Galilee, they're kind of like maybe knee deep in the water, and they're casting their nets into the lake. And there'd be circular nets that they would throw into the lake. They would have some kind of weights on them that would sink to the bottom of the lake, and then they would pull in their catch of fish. Just so you know, their fathers, their grandfathers, their great-grandfathers have all probably been fishermen from this part of the Sea of Galilee. This is their livelihood, and this is their identity. This is who they are. They are fishermen from Galilee. But Jesus comes along, and he says, "Come, follow me." And the Bible says that they immediately left their nets and followed him. Immediately. And then he goes to another set of brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. And we see later in a different book about Jesus' life, the book of Luke, we see that these couple pairs were probably partners in business together. And in Luke, we see that they're partners together, and here too, they drop their nets. And they're in a boat with their dad. Like, this is their dad's business. Their dad is like passing on his business to his sons. And then we don't know what happens. I don't know if they jump out of the boat and swim to shore, or if the boat comes, you know, but they're like, okay, we're leaving this. Imagine what this was like in a Jewish culture, just to go, drop the nets. I'm literally dropping generations of the family business to follow Jesus. It's incredible. It's a powerful story. They're giving up a lot here. They're giving up their identity to follow Jesus. Now, give me a second, and if you'll allow me, I'm going to kind of nerd out on the Greek language here for a second. A lot of you in the room are going to take issue with a certain translation that we have of the verse of Matthew 4:19. So if this doesn't interest you at all, it's okay. You can tune me out for a couple seconds. But for all of you who are like sticklers when it comes to something in the Bible, just walk with me here. The Greek word for send here is the word poieo, which is translated make. Make. And so the ESV gets this right, and he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. But then the Greek word for men is the word anthropos. That's the Greek here in the text, which is translated people. So not just man or woman, but it's translated people, anthropos. So the NIV gets that right. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. So the best translation is to put those together, and I give you the North Langley version, the NLV, which says, come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of people, okay? So if you want to take issue with that translation, come talk to me later, but that's the one we're sticking with, and we're going to go with it, okay? It's most accurate, I believe. And we're going to come back to that in greater detail, but I want you to see those words, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of people. These are the words that Jesus said to those men on the lake. So let's do a deep dive with these words. First of all, you see them as four movements. Do you see them as four movements? Come, follow me, I will make you fishers of people. Movement 1, 2, 3, and 4. We're going to walk through them right now. Movement number 1. An apprentice of Jesus is one who hears the words, come, come. If you're wondering what it means to follow Jesus, it begins, like the first step is to hear him say, come. And it means that an apprentice of Jesus is loved by Jesus. Did you know that you are loved by Jesus right now? In this moment, in the mess and the confusion of your life, in all the crazy things that are going on in your head, your heart, and maybe in your life, he loves you. And he looks at you, he looks in your eyes, and in whatever you do in life, whatever you're up to, he looks at you and he says, come, come. It's like his hand is outstretched to you. Come. Come, do you know how much I love you? I love you. At this moment, you don't need to become perfect or clean yourself up or anything. In the mess of life right now, would you just come? I love you. An apprentice of Jesus is one who has heard the word, come. We look to the cross. This is the most powerful moment where an apprentice of Jesus looks and knows that there's an invitation here. Jesus, as he dies on the cross, his arms are outstretched. And in that picture of his arms outstretched, being nailed to a cross, is a picture of the welcoming arms of God. Come. Come, I was willing to bleed for you and die for you, that your sins would be wiped clean, that you would have new life, that you would know what the word grace means. Come, come, just as you are. You don't need to get your act together to come, just come. In Matthew chapter 11, I'll have the words on the screen. There is a powerful moment where Jesus looks at some disciples and he says to them, he kind of talks as though they're both plowing in a field. It's kind of it's a unique picture. But Jesus looks at his apprentices, his disciples, and he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened." Those are the prerequisites to come to Jesus. Do you see the word perfection anywhere there? No. "Come, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest." And then he uses this crazy image. It's like two oxen in a field. And at this time, like two oxen who are there, and they're connected with a yoke. There'd be like a wooden thing on both of their backs in order to plow a field. You can picture it, right? It's a wooden yoke on their shoulders. And he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." It's as though Jesus is describing himself as an ox, and he's saying, "You just slide in here. Do you want rest? Do you want peace? Well then, come here, put my yoke upon you and learn from me." Do you see the language of an apprentice? Just learn from me. Look at the way I do it. "And as I go, you will find rest for your souls. Learn from me," he says, and I miss this, "for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is the invitation to you. Come. When you're an apprentice of mine, you, for all of you who are weary and heavy laden, you will learn from me and you will find rest for your souls. Come. An apprentice of Jesus is loved by Jesus. Number two, movement number two. Follow me. Come, follow me. Follow me. An apprentice of Jesus is led by Jesus. So first of all, an apprentice of Jesus is loved by Jesus. Secondly, an apprentice of Jesus is led by Jesus. Some of you, if you have grown up in the Christian church, at this point you're going, okay, this is like simple stuff. Like, I've heard this before, right? Like back in the flannel graph days. Is he going to say anything interesting this morning? Like, anything I don't know? Probably not. I'm probably not going to say anything you don't know. But here's the prayer. Here's the request that I would ask of you. Would you internally be praying, "God, would you show me the power of these words in Scripture? Even though I grew up on this and looking at the flannel graph and I could sing a song about this that I learned in Sunday school, just show me the power of the invitation." So, led by Jesus. An apprentice, it sounds simple, again, is someone who drops their nets. They drop their nets and they turn to follow Jesus. They are literally turning their back on certain things, maybe some good things, maybe some bad things, whatever, but they're turning their back in order to follow the master, the teacher. And I would ask you, North Langley, what is your net? What's your identity? What are those things that will naturally you'll have to turn your back on in order to follow Jesus? Now, at this moment, I'm not telling you to quit your job. Some of you are like, it'd be really helpful if you did, because I'm like this close to quitting my job. It'd be great if a pastor told me to. That's not what I'm telling you, okay? But what I'm saying is there are some things that you hold tightly as your identity. You know, this is what my father and father's father, I'm known for this. People know me as this kind of person. And there is this sense in which that's going to have to drop when you follow Jesus. Now, Jesus may allow you to do some of these things in a way that he wants you to, sure. But there's this sense in which we drop our nets to follow him. Why? Because we have to be led by Jesus. I'm no longer the captain of my own fate or the master of my own soul. I have to rebuke the Frank Sinatra in me that I did it my way. An apprentice of Jesus knows that those are foolish words. I did it my way? Really? No. That you don't want to die with those words on your lips, right? Why? Because doing it my way has always led to death. There's a story that I've told before here at church of myself as a little kid in a lake. This is like a story that my parents have used a lot in order to teach me lessons in life. So it's like ingrained, it's embedded in my mind. Apparently there's a moment where I was about 4 or 5 years old. I was in a lake in Texas And I'm hanging out in Texas, and my parents come to me, and my dad says, "Matthew, come out of the water." And I'm like, "No." And he's like, "Matthew, come out of the water." I'm like, "No." And my dad, what I don't know, is that he sees a water moccasin coming towards me. That's a poisonous snake. I don't know where water moccasins are at in the world, but at least in Oklahoma, Texas, they're poisonous. So it was swimming towards me in the lake. And so my dad runs into the water, he scoops me up, and he pulls me out of the lake. And he has always used that story to tell me that there are times when you have to trust my voice. Follow me. Why? No. Right? And picture yourself with God, right? Follow me. No. No way. I have no idea what you're at. Follow me. Come on, really? And what we don't see is what he sees. He sees danger. He sees something coming, and he's asking us to trust him. Follow me. Follow me. And you and I need to know the gospel. The gospel is that God, in his goodness, was willing to run into the waters, to lift us up. And in fulfillment of a prophecy that was prophesied in the book of Genesis, Jesus was willing to be bitten by a snake, but that Jesus himself would crush the head of the snake at the cross. At the cross is the moment Jesus was bitten by evil, but the moment that Jesus crushed evil itself. The cross is the moment that God literally runs into the water to scoop us up. And we know we can trust him. We know we can trust him. He's the great rescuer. And he says, follow me. It's a move from dark to light. Follow me. It's away from the false self. It's away from the lies to a life of joy as King Jesus leads us. So an apprentice of Jesus is led by Jesus. Movement number three. I will make you. Come, follow me. I will make you. An apprentice of Jesus is made by Jesus, or becoming like Jesus. An apprentice of Jesus is changed, transformed. They're actually different from the way they once were. This is not just like a free get out of hell card that you get when you're 20 years old and you give your life to Jesus, and then it's like, I can live how I want for the next 60 years. It's not the way it works. That to be an apprentice of Jesus is we begin by giving our life to Jesus, but then he then takes us and he begins to mold us and shape us like a great artist. He's sculpting us to look like his son. Listen to Romans chapter 8, verse 29. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. I'll read that again. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. As you look at yourself, let me ask you this. Do you believe that God can shape you to look like Jesus? That's what apprenticeship is like. That we would learn to do what Jesus did, to think the way Jesus thought, to live how he lived. Do you believe that God can do that? I love the author Frederick Buechner, and he has a powerful quote about what it means to be changed and actually transformed by Jesus. I love it. It's a fun one. So Frederick Buechner says this. He says, Zacchaeus climbs up a sycamore tree, a crook, and climbs down a saint. Paul sets out a hatchet man for the Pharisees and comes back a fool for Christ. It's just what Jesus does. He transforms us. There's new habits are formed, new ways of thinking, new richness and love for God. We're shaped and we're formed by Jesus. And you got to know this. You don't have to clean up your act before coming to Jesus. He'll do that. It's his Holy Spirit in you. He'll begin to do it. He is the great artist. He'll take care of it. Jesus takes us as we are and begins the process of cleaning and shaping us and forming us like a piece of art. And in the book of John, chapter 15, you don't have to turn there, there's this powerful picture of Jesus being a vine and we're like branches. And in the passage, there's a promise that God is the great gardener and that God will come and with great love, he'll start to prune the branch.
And it's like, ow, I like that part of me. But he begins to prune the branch. Why? So that a beautiful, healthy vine will grow. And he prunes some things back. And God's, and as he prunes, it hurts sometimes. It doesn't feel good. And it's like, is God saying that there's like something wrong with me? And it's like, yes, many things wrong with you. Right? There's a lot going on in a human heart and in a human mind. And if he loves us, he'll prune. He'll prune. It won't always feel good, but he's doing it because he loves us. He's not going to enable us, by the way. It's not the kind of dad he is. You know, he doesn't shape us to become entitled brats. It's not how it works in the kingdom. It's real love. Sometimes it hurts, but it's real. Because he has our good and the good of others in mind when he begins to prune. He'll shape us. An apprentice of Jesus is becoming like Jesus. And movement number four. Fishers of people. Fishers of people. An apprentice of Jesus will lead others to Jesus. Sounds simple? An apprentice of Jesus will lead others to Jesus. I love that word fishers of people because it's so contextual to these fishermen, right? So what would he say to you in your job or your passion? What would he say to you if he came to you? Come follow me and I will make you. It's so contextual to these fishermen. I love it. And what he's saying is this. He's saying, when you become my apprentice, part of what that means is that you're going to have a heart that is shaped to lead others to become apprentices. It's just going to be natural. Like when you catch on and you go, this is amazing. This isn't always easy. Sometimes it's quite hard in following Jesus, but he fills me with his love. I want more and more of him, and I can't help but point others to apprenticeship to Jesus. Say, come, check it out. This is so good. Like, life is found here. Come, check it out. It's natural for an apprentice who loves their master to offer the invitation to others. And the plan, as we looked at last week, in the Great Commission, was this. One by one, for thousands of years, apprentices inviting others to be apprentice to Jesus. Or in the language of Scripture, disciples making disciples. It's that simple. One-on-one for thousands of years. And last week we were like, really? Like, that's the plan? Like, I said this last week, but it does seem so basic. It feels like there's like lots of potholes and opportunity for human failure. The plan to know God's life is held in the hands of sinful people walking with other sinful people to become apprentices? And Jesus, with all his authority, is like, yes, that's the plan. In all that messiness, that's the plan. One by one, an apprentice of Jesus will lead others to Jesus. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of people. So what is an apprentice? Here it is. An apprentice of Jesus is loved by Jesus, led by Jesus, becoming like Jesus, and leading others to Jesus. Are you ready for apprenticeship? Are you ready? Mr. Miyagi asked Daniel that question. Now, ready? Daniel says, yeah, I guess so. Mr. Miyagi said, Daniel, son, must talk. Walk on road. Walk right side, safe. Walk left side, safe. Walk middle, sooner or later, get the squish like grape. He does the sound effect in the movie, just, you know, trying to follow the script here. Here, karate, same thing. Either you karate do yes or karate do no. You karate do guess so, just like grape. Understand? Yeah, I understand. Now ready? Yeah, I'm ready. Are you ready to be an apprentice of Jesus? You have to make a choice. One road leads to life, and the other to destruction. Jesus was very clear. There are only two roads to follow. One road leads to the abundance of God's life. Loving God, loving others with the fullness of joy. The further you go down that road, the more joy God will give you because you're aligned with his heart and his mind. But the other road is wide. Many travel that road. Many sing Frank Sinatra on that road. I did it my way. And it will lead to forms of death. And, according to Mr. Miyagi, to choose not to choose is to choose. To choose not to choose is to take the wide road. But Jesus is calling us on that narrow road of apprenticeship to him. There's so much joy that awaits us, just so you know. If we want God's good and abundant life, then we do what Jesus did. It means with everything, we do what Jesus did. And does this mean that we're going to be suddenly absolutely wealthy, all our dreams are going to be fulfilled, we'll never have any sickness or pain? Absolutely not. No way. An apprentice of Jesus will encounter all those things on their road. But they will know that they are yoked in with Jesus. And he promises that the weary and the burdened will find rest for their soul amidst the complexities and pain of life. And I want to show you how this works. To be an apprentice of Jesus, imagine this. You have conflict. Imagine you have conflict, right? Every one of us in the room is like, uh-huh. And we can picture that person. And we're upset at that person. We've got all things we'd like to say to that person and all kinds of emails we'd like to write to that person. And we can picture ourselves confronting them, right? We've got the lawyer set aside to deal with that person, right? You don't have to amen out loud. Just deep down, you can amen in the quietness of your own heart. You know who we're talking about, right? You can picture someone. And what does it mean to be an apprentice of Jesus? It's to hear, come, follow me, I'll make you fishers of people. What does that mean? When you have conflict and your heart is filled with anger towards someone, you hear, come, come. You hear the radical invitation of grace. You hear a God who, even when we were messing up, called us to himself. And so instantly, we go, okay, my heart is aligned with a God of grace and a God of love and a God of mercy. Already come. I see Jesus who says, follow me. And I need to lay my nets down. There's some ways of communicating with that person. There's some ways of handling that conflict that I need to drop. I just need to drop them. I know that that will only dehumanize the other person and it'll lead me into trenches of bitterness. I got to drop those. I got to look at the hands of the master. How did he do it? Now, come, follow me. I will make you. How does he shape me? Well, I begin to be shaped by Jesus, the great artist, who tells me to look to the cross. In my anger, he tells me to look to the cross. And what do I see? I see him say, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And that begins to shape me. And in my conflict with that person, I begin to go, okay, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. I begin to pray for them. And I'm being shaped by Jesus, right? I'm being made by Jesus in the moment of that conflict. And he says, and I will make you fish for people. And all of a sudden, others who watch the peace and the light yoke that I carry amidst conflict, I'm in dialogue with them. And I'm saying, look, you too, come. Come. Let me show you. Apprenticeship to Jesus is filled with joy. I want to show you. I was able to walk through that conflict like Jesus. I'm not perfect, not at all, but I'm learning apprenticeship to Jesus. Conflict. What about for those of us that experience moments of lust? There is someone you are drawn to. There is maybe certain things you're drawn to in the media, whether it's pornography or certain ways of looking at coworkers, or you're drawn to a relationship you know is dangerous. And what we do as apprentices of Jesus is we look to Jesus and we hear his radical invitation, come, listen, I love you. I love you. I got so much love for you. My heart is bursting with love for you. You don't need that. Come, look at my eyes. Don't look there. Look at my eyes. I love you. Come and follow me. You got to drop some things, okay? Keep looking at me. You got to drop some things. You get rid of that computer. You get rid of that cell phone. You get a new job. Because you know the person that you're drawn to is at work. You find a new job. It's okay. I'll care for you. I'll provide for your daily needs. But get out of there. That's a burning house. Get out of there. Follow me. Drop your nets. I will make you. I'll shape you. I'll form you so that your mind is beginning to be formed with thoughts that are pure and holy. And you will have a desire, if you're married, for your spouse. If you're not married, for your friends, for your family. Like, I will give you a desire for pure and good community, not for that. And then as you are set free from that moment, as you escape the fires of that lust, then you just point other people and you say, hey, this is a good road to follow. Come, seriously, this is a really good road to follow. I nearly lost my life on that one. Come. Jesus, be apprentice to Jesus. What about finances? What kind of worries do you and I have with our finances, with our worries and our fears about money, with the anxiety that we have over money? Again, he says this to you. Come, follow me. I'll make you fishers of people. Come, look at my eyes. I love you so much. Did you know that I have given you everything? Have you heard the radical invitation of the cross? My arms are extended in your financial worries, your fear over debt and all the things you owe. Would you see that I took my debt upon my own shoulders, your debt upon my own shoulders, nailed it to the cross. Your debt of sin has been forgiven. Come, I love you. Now follow me. There are going to be some decisions you're going to have to make. If you want to be my apprentice, you're going to have to make them. You're going to have to stop spending in lots of these areas. You're going to have to die a death there. There's a whole bunch of stuff. Die, death. No buying these things, right? And you're going to have to get on a path that will eventually not just lead you to financial freedom, but to great generosity for others. Because I'm going to shape you to be content. Jesus was content. Jesus, without a home, was content. And I'll teach you to be content with what you have so that your surplus will be used in generous ways for others. Not back for yourself, but for others. And that generosity will lead others to become apprentices of Jesus. Nathaniel, do you see how it works? Everything you're going through, come, follow me. I'll make you fishers of people. Trust the process. Trust the master. Become an apprentice. Would you stand with me? Could you just ask King Jesus, which one of those four things do you need to hear today? For those of you who are brand new to church, new to Jesus, I would encourage you to see that first thing. Come. But for the rest of you, just take a moment to pray. King Jesus, what do you want us to see? What do you want us to hear? So maybe with eyes closed, could you just picture Jesus? Just as he walked on the Sea of Galilee and approached these fishermen, he walks up to you. And you look into his eyes. And as he looks at you, he says, come, follow me. I will make you a fisher of people. He's saying it to you. You are loved by Jesus. May you be led by Jesus. May you become like Jesus and lead others to Jesus. This is the adventure before you. It's the adventure that awaits all of us. So what do you say?